All right, we're in Romans chapter 8 tonight. I want to do just a brief message about something that I've been thinking about, and I was taking a class last semester, and the teacher was talking about some of these points, and I studied them a little further, and it was a blessing to me. So I wanted to share some of these with you. Romans chapter 8, of course, when we think of chapter 8 of Romans, automatically we think of chapter 8, verse 28, which is one of the most famous verses, not just in the book of Romans, but for Christians today. It's a verse of encouragement and hope. It says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." But I wanted to look out tonight into verse number 29, and just focus in on one little phrase that's in this verse. Verse number 29 of chapter 8 in Romans. "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Now here in chapter 8 of Romans, Paul is kind of bringing to a conclusion some of the doctrinal unfoldings that he's been doing in the book. He talks early in the book about how we're all condemned before the Lord. We're all guilty. Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter. We're all condemned and guilty before Him. Then he moves on to talk about justification, how God has, through Jesus Christ, provided a way for us to be proclaimed and declared righteous. Even though we aren't, we know we are unholy. We know we're filthy. We're sinners. But the Lord looks down at us, and when we believe on Him, through His work that He's done, we are declared to be righteous. And Paul talks about this. And then going on into chapter 6 through 8, Paul says, since we have been justified, since we have accepted Christ, since we are trusting in Him, then what effect should that have in my life? And as we get down to the end of chapter 8 here, Paul's talking about how the Holy Spirit can work in your heart, how He is now the empowering force in your life in the beginning of chapter 8. And then here with this verse in number 29, he begins to talk about how, what is God wanting to do in our hearts as believers? What is His, when He looks down at our lives, what does He want us to become? And we see in verse 29, the little phrase I wanted to focus in on tonight is that phrase, to be conformed to the image of His Son. God's desire is for us to be conformed to Christ. Now, that's not something that happens overnight, obviously. It's throughout our lives. God uses different things to break us down, to break our problems, our pride many times, different things, and to make us more like His Son. And I want to talk tonight about a few of those things. So here, in the context of our verse tonight, in verse number 28, where we read this verse, we appreciate it, the foreknowledge of God, how He called us, He chose us, and it says in verse 28 that all things work out together for good. That it may not seem good at the beginning, perhaps. It may be something that we don't think is good, but in the end result, God works those things for our benefit, and the goal of all of that in verse number 29 is to conform us to the image of His Son. Now, this word conform is the word sum morphe, and it has the idea of taking on the form of another. Obviously, here we have the image of Christ. We have the view of what Christ is, and I know we cannot be as Christ on this life, and it takes a time to do that, and through this life, God is working in our hearts, but one day we will be glorified, and we will be conform to the image of the Son in the utmost sense of the word, and we will be holy as He is holy. But now God in our life wants to work in us. He wants us to bring us along the pathway of becoming and being conformed to Jesus Christ. And I want us to think about this conforming tonight. God wants us to be in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Think tonight as we go through this little message here, think about your life. Think about the things that come up in your life and ask this question: what if everything that was happening in my life was the work of God to conform me one step closer to Christ? How many times we're guilty of just going through our life and little things happen throughout the day, or maybe a big thing happens in the day. Little circumstances come up and we really don't think much about them. Have you ever stopped and thought, Lord, why did that just happen? Why did I have that conversation with that person? Why, Lord, did You allow this instance to occur in my life? Why did You allow me to meet this person and have this interaction with them, or any event that happens in your life? So many times we just, things happen and we continue on our life and we don't stop and think about, why, Lord, did You do that? Well, have you ever thought that perhaps God is using every single instance, even if it's a small instance, to conform us just maybe one step closer to the image of Christ? And the Lord is wanting to do that in our lives and hearts. Now, if you think about the goal of the Christian, we see that God wants us to be conformed to the image of Christ. But another danger, another temptation, another call that is made is to be conformed to an image that the world has to offer. You know, the world is always seeking to conform to some type of image. They're always seeking to go to some type of image and be like something, and that thing always changes. It's not really the thing that God desires. The images that the world follows are always maybe perversions even of God. Go back to Romans chapter 1. This is a familiar verse. Look in verse number 23. Here's the discussion of, you know, sinful man that goes in his own pathway. Verse number 23 says that they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into what? An image made like to corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beasts, creeping things, worshiping another type. They see, you know, sure, God may wants us to conform to Christ in His image, but the world has another image. They set up that image and they want man to conform to its image. That's the goal of Satan in his life as he goes around this world and he's trying to get people, no, don't listen to the image and the conforming of God. Let's go to the image of the world and what it has to offer. You know, even in the end time, man is always drawn to an image. There's an emphasis in the book of Revelation on the image of the beast and the false prophet. Let's look at just a few verses tonight about that. Go to the book of Revelation. The world always has an image that's different than the image that God wants us to be conformed to. Man hates the process that God wants to do. Man hates the desire of God to conform us to Christ, and it seeks a different image. Look in the book of Revelation here, chapter 16. You know what? The image of the self-proclaimed Antichrist is going to be something that man is captivated to. Wow, this looks incredible. It's going to be an emotional appeal. It's going to be something that appeals to all kinds of people, an ecumenical appeal. And man is going to say, wow, we need to get in line with this image. We need to follow down this road that everybody else is going down. Look in chapter 16, verse 2. This is talking about the vials of wrath. The first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. There fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his what? His image. There's some picture, there's some image. This is what the beast is. This is what the Antichrist is. Here is the system that the Antichrist offers, and here are men following, worshiping, placing this as the preeminent thing in their life. They're trying to conform to an image that the world is offering, that Antichrist is offering. Go to chapter 19. It's mentioned again. Just quickly, we'll look at a couple of these verses. Chapter 19, verse 20. It says, the beast was taken, the false prophet that wrought miracles, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. Again, what are they? These both were cast alive into a lake of fire. They're following the image that is presented. They were deceived into following this. It was one of those wow factor things. Wow, look at the miracles he's doing. Look at the emotional appeal that this has. They followed that image. They worshiped that image, and it led them to the lake of fire. It's mentioned one last time in chapter 20. Look in verse 4. I saw thrones, they that sat upon them. Judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshiped the beast, neither his image. Here we are in the end time here, that there's a group of people that do not worship the image. There's a group of people that said, we're not going to conform to the image that everybody else is conforming to. And we want to be faithful to the Lord. And what happened? It cost them their very lives. It says very specifically there that they were actually beheaded. It's the kind of death that they suffered because they refused to conform. You know, here's everybody just running to the Antichrist, going after the image, going after the mark, worshiping him, conforming to him. And here's this group that doesn't, and they pay the ultimate price of their lives. You know, there is a call today. There's a move today to conform to an image, to worship something. Be like this is the call. Hey, just get in line with everybody else. Let's just go along with all that is going on. Go with the flow. Follow everything that's happening. Everyone else is being conformed. That's what the world tells them to follow. God, however, wants to conform His children to the image of Jesus Christ. That is not a popular move. You think, young person, there are so many things that the world wants you to conform to. There are so many things vying for you to follow them, as even as it said here in Revelation, that they worshiped the image. There are so many things that the world wants you to worship, and it's going to be an unpopular move if you don't. Just like it was in Revelation 20 with those that refused to fall down and conform to this image of the beast. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 mentions, we won't read that, but it talks about the ultimate goal of us as believers is to be conformed to the image of Christ, and it says that we shall bear the image of the heavenly. when we are glorified with Christ. That is the goal. That is what I, as a pilgrim and a stranger on the earth, is to seek after. The confirmation, conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. Young person, how about asking yourself this question before you do what you want to do? Before you go out and do the things that you like to do, ask yourself the question, is what I'm fixing to do conforming me to the culture? Is it conforming me to my friends and what everybody else is doing? Is it conforming me to the world? Or is this helping me conform to Jesus Christ? Well, I'm gonna listen to this because everybody else is, and I kind of fit in. Well, you're simply conforming. You're conforming. The Lord, what am I going to do that's going to step me this way to the Lord? What's going to make me conform to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or am I going to conform and contribute to all that is going on in the world system? You know, if we are simply going along with what everybody else is doing, just that simple fact, young person, should raise awareness in your mind or questions. Why am I just always doing that? Am I going along with everybody else? Am I really have a heart change that makes me desire to be conformed to Jesus Christ? Is what I'm doing conforming me to Christ or conforming me to the world? It might be an indicator of the need of a heart transformation that puts you on the path of conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, I wanted to share tonight that God in our lives, as He saves us, transforms our hearts and minds, puts us on a new pathway. We're now His sons, we're His children, and we begin the process of God conforming us to His Son. And I wanted to quickly tonight bring out three major ways that God is going, that He works in our lives. Three ways, three things that He uses to conform us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, throughout each of these three, the Holy Spirit is so integral. As we go through these, we'll see that He plays a very important part of applying these things to us and working in our hearts and moving us toward this conforming to the image of Christ. You know, that's why I believe the Scripture is so clear about grieve not the Spirit or quench not the Spirit. Being sensitive to the call of the Spirit, the direction of the Spirit of God in our hearts as believers. Because what does the Holy Spirit want to do? He wants to magnify Jesus Christ. He wants to glorify Jesus Christ. And so He works in our hearts to conform us to that image. Now, these three things that God uses in our lives to conform us. The first one, He conforms us to His Son by the Word of God. The first thing, the Word of God. He uses His Word. Now, I want to start with this, going back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 23. You don't have to turn there. This is a familiar verse. We could probably all quote it, but chapter 23, verse number 7, simply says, "For as he thinketh in his heart," what's the rest of it? "So is he." As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let's first just state this. What we meditate on and what controls and consumes us on the inside is what we are. It's what we are. If I want to, again, we're trying to conform, God wants us to conform to Him. So the question is, if I want to conform to God, if I want to be like God or conform to Jesus Christ, then what? I have to have a different mindset. The way I think in my mind is what I will be. So I must have a mind change that was different than when I was following the world, when I was in sin, when I wasn't trusting Christ. That's one mindset. But now God says we're on a new pathway. We are conforming to Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And now God says, what are we going to think in our heart that will help us along this road? If we're consuming our mind with the things we used to think about, we're not going to go down this road. But if we're filling our mind with the Word of God, saturating our mind with Him, then I am what? I am operating on biblical principles. As we think in our heart, so are we. If I'm filling my mind with God's Word, if I'm meditating upon it and letting it dictate and direct the pathways and the different directions of my life, if I'm operating on biblical principles and not on the world motion, secular shifts, different things that change all the time. No, I'm on an objective principle of God's Word. As you think in our hearts, so are we. So what is the goal here? It is, if we want to be conformed as a believer, it should be our desire. Lord, I want you to conform me to Christ. Then we must be in God's Word. Because as we think in our heart, so will we be. What we fill our mind with, that's what we will be. Today there are so many things that fill this brain. probably more than any other time in history. There's all kinds of media outputs, all kinds of things that fill our minds. And so what we think and what we take in all the time is simply what we will do. The things we listen to, the things we see, the things we read, all those things that we just kind of take in and continue to take in, that's what we will be. So as a believer, if I want to be conformed to Christ, what do I have to take in? I have to take in God's Word. I have to meditate upon it. I have to study it. Again, as I said, the Holy Spirit is very integral in this, in taking God's Word, applying it to our hearts, directing, illuminating our hearts, letting us understand this is the direction that God would have me to go in. Now, there's some other familiar verses that we want to look at. Romans chapter 12 is also a very familiar passage in this regard. We could all, again, quote this one. We'll start in verse number 2. You could listen, and be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How is the mind renewed? Now, obviously, first, what came? Transformed. Then the mind has to be renewed. It's the word that means a complete changeover, a complete renovation of the mind in the Greek. In order to have this mind changed, to have it set in a different direction, I must consume it with that direction. If I want to go this way, then I have to renew my mind and set my mind upon those things. How is that done? By saturating the mind with God's Word, the Scriptures. There's another verse that I'll just mention, Colossians chapter 3. Paul says, "We have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." How is the knowledge of my mind renewed again? It is through the Scripture. God seeks to conform us to His Son through the Scripture that He has revealed to us. How many times, how often as we read God's Word, the Holy Spirit illumines our heart. We realize things in our lives. We see, Lord, I never understood that verse that way. I kind of maybe have glanced over that a few times. You know, it's amazing, no matter how many times you read through the Scripture, you will always find something new that the Holy Spirit of God works in your heart and shows you and kind of touches your mind to where you, it's kind of like the light bulb moment, you know, where you see something. And then it's your desire as, Lord, I understand this. Now, please give me the strength to implement this. What did God do? He's doing one step, little by little, farther to conform us to Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting that we can do it in our personal readings. We can read as in the devotions, or even if you're in a service, you hear somebody preaching, or you hear the Bible being proclaimed. Many times God can work in that as well. The Holy Spirit takes the word that's being preached, and you what? You realize, wow, that area of my life is not conformed to Jesus Christ through the proclamation of His Word. And then God works to conform us to the image of His Son. You know, if the Word of God is not being proclaimed, then God's people will not be helped along the road of being conformed to Jesus Christ. There is so much less and less preaching of God's Word in our day, and it's resulting in a Christianity that is being conformed to the wrong thing. You can't be conformed to Jesus Christ without saturating the mind with the Word of God. And the day we take the Bible and make it less important and less important and less important in our churches is the day we're not going to be on the pathway to being conformed to Jesus Christ. We will conform to something, but it will not be what God has in His Word for us. Now, there's a warning before we leave this section quickly in James chapter 1. Let me read this verse to you. Again, these are familiar verses that kind of all come together. James chapter 1 says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." What's the danger there? The danger is that we can come and we can hear the word. Or I can come and I can look at the mirror of God's word, but not implement that in my life, not do what God has shown me in His Word to do. Conforming to Christ many times requires action on our part to conform to what God's Word has said. We so many times look at the mirror of God's Word in the Scripture, and maybe we see the blemish, maybe we see the problem, but we walk away and we forget, it says, what manner of man we were. But as verse 25 says, we are to look therein and continue therein. So there is a warning that, yeah, just because you read God's Word or just because you come and hear God's Word does not necessarily mean that you will do, as James says here, hearers and doers of the Word. So one way that God conforms us to His Son is through His very precious Word. But quickly tonight, number two, another way that God conforms us is by discipline. By discipline, by correction. If you're in the book of James, flip back a page. If you're not, go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. This is, again, a very famous verse about God's discipline in our lives. Look at verse number 9 of Hebrews chapter 12. It says, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us. We gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He, God, for our profit, why? That we might be partakers of His holiness." Why does God chasten? Why does God discipline? He has a goal in mind. He wants us to continue to be conformed to Christ and partake of that holiness. Verse number 11, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous." When you're going through it, it sure is tough, isn't it? "Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." God has a goal when He disciplines. God has a goal in mind when He chastens, just as we do maybe with our children. Our goal is we want them to learn to be obedient children so that one day they will obey God. And that should be our goal as parents in our mind when we have to discipline and correct our children. God has that same mindset as our Father here. He corrects us because He loves us as His children. It is for our instruction, our correction, and even prevention, protection of certain from certain dangers in our life. One of my teachers gave me a story in one of my classes last year. He told about the old-time shepherds in the old days, I guess in the Middle East or wherever it was, that they would walk along when it's time to go to the meadows. They would walk along. Maybe they stayed in a fold for the winter or something, and they're going down the familiar pathway that they go every year to go to the pasture or to the meadow that the shepherd knows is the right meadow. And as they go along this road, many times there would be a new lamb that maybe was born over the wintertime, and maybe he didn't know the pathway. And he's just kind of going along there, and as you walk up the path, the lamb looks around, and he sees this field over here, and he sees that garden over there, and he says, "Wow, man, look how green that is. Look how wonderful that is." And the tendency of the little lamb is to just kind of go off to the side and begin to eat and begin to go to that meadow and that pasture. And the shepherd has to go over and stop and pull him back and pull him back in. And you say, "Well, why, you mean old shepherd? Why can't you let the little guy enjoy what he was doing?" Because in those days, if the lamb sat there and ate and destroyed even the garden or the crops or the meadow, then the owner of that meadow had the right to keep that lamb for himself. He could do whatever he wanted with it. He could kill it. He could eat it. He could keep it. And the shepherd knew that. So what was the shepherd doing? Really protecting the lamb from a danger that the lamb had no idea about. Isn't that the way it is in our Christian lives when we see something? Or young person, the world's over there just hollering at you. It's wonderful. But you don't see the danger that the shepherd sees. You don't see the story in the back that the shepherd knows about. And as the custom goes, as maybe two times he had to go over there and take, and then he puts him back, and then they're walking down the line again. Maybe he'll veer off again and see another garden, and the shepherd goes and gets him. But only after about two or three times, that shepherd, after the second or third time, would take that lamb, would take him to the front, would carry him, and would break his leg. Whoa, that's just awful. He'd take the rod and hit the leg, or he would snap the leg and break it. Then he would lovingly just set it, wrap it, whatever, and he would carry that lamb, either in his saddlebag or carrying himself on through the rest of the journey. Well, that's just terrible. That's mean for that shepherd to have to do those things. But the lamb would ride with the shepherd. I tell you, sometimes the rod is not pleasant, but it's done for what? Our instruction. It's done for the prevention of us sometimes going out and destroying something, going out and doing the wrong, making the bad mistakes, things we don't see. And so many times God takes that rod and has to maybe even break our leg, or hinder us, stop us from doing this thing that we don't understand. We don't see the consequence behind it many times. And God in love, it doesn't look loving, but He sometimes does that. He disciplines for the purpose of us continuing in the right pathway that He has chosen for us. Young person, be thankful for the rod. I'm not talking about just the switch, but the correction, the discipline that comes into your life, whether it's from God. Maybe sometimes God works in your life and bam, brings something in there and it just totally throws you off. Or maybe it's from your parents that say, "No, you can't do that," or "No, you're going to stay here," or whatever. Whatever way God works, it just simply means that God loves you and wants to keep you on the right path. I would be concerned if there was not any instruction or discipline or correction in my life. God loves us enough that He will go out and do that. I had a young person a few years ago that was going through a lot of struggles, and he kept getting, it almost seems like mistake after mistake after mistake, and this kept coming out, and then this came out about it, and then this came out about it. And I tried to tell that young person, think about it this way. God loves you and is trying to stop you. He's maybe breaking your leg there. Now's the time to run to Him. Now's the time to yield to Him, submit to Him. Be thankful that He's trying to stop you. Some young people run to the Lord. Some young people don't. They continue in the stubborn way that they're going in. God conforms us. He's going to discipline us. It may be painful, but He's conforming us to the image of His Son. The third thing tonight as we close, not just through His Word, not just through discipline, but also through circumstance and suffering, God works to conform us. When God begins to squeeze us, the word for tribulation in the Greek is the word that means pressing. You know, it's almost like you're being pressed against a wall or something. If you're claustrophobic, that would be terrible. You're squeezing, you know, what's going to come out of you when circumstances in your life begin to squeeze you? When hardships come around you, well, I tell you, I look back at my life and think of how many times I've just flopped. Here comes a hardship, and what do? I go to pieces, or the wrong thing comes out of me. The wrong witness comes out of me. The wrong testimony comes out of me. And you look back at it and say, Lord, help me to learn from that. Because when the Lord puts us in difficult circumstances, He's wanting people to see Jesus Christ coming out of us. And when it doesn't, God's saying, yes, son, I'm wanting you to get closer to being conformed to Jesus Christ through these circumstances. God may use tools that hurt sometimes. He may chop you down. He may crush you down. But again, as we read in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. Now, those all things is not a guarantee that it's going to be a good thing. But it is a guarantee that in the end, that all things that have come into my life, I don't think sometimes we stop and think about this, but all things that come into my life have been filtered through God's love for me. And nothing happens to His people by accident. God is wanting to do what with those things? Conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm not responsible for what comes into my life. But I am responsible for how I respond, for how I am a witness in the situations. You know, the world often sees our reactions, our difficulties, the things that are going on in your life, and God wants to use even difficulties in our lives, those squeezing, pressing circumstances, so that Jesus Christ can be seen, and perhaps others can come to Him. God is daily in the process of getting out of us those things that don't look like Jesus Christ, that don't conform to Him. You know, in our day, the world needs to see the reality of Jesus Christ. They don't need to see a fake Christianity. They don't need to see a commercialized, big show Christianity. They need to see the reality of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And many people have a misconception, a false view of Christ, of God, because of all they see professing believers, or they see professing Christians, and the reality of their lives and the things that come out and how they're not conformed to Christ, and they get the wrong picture. We as God's people must be conformed to Jesus Christ so that those that are in need will see God, will see the love of Jesus Christ for them. You know, if we are being conformed to the world system instead of Jesus Christ, remember, we will become like the God that we worship. Whatever we're worshiping, we're going to conform to that. We must be conformed to the true God, Jesus Christ, His Son. I pray that tonight we would yield to the conforming work of God in our lives. When He brings the difficult circumstances, when perhaps He has to discipline us, that we would allow it as an opportunity for God to, yes, conform me even closer to Jesus Christ and strengthen my life as a believer. You know, this mindset can totally change the way you look at your life. Young person, the culture today just pushes the wrong priorities. The wrong priorities. Okay, here's all you got to do. Just graduate, go to college. If you don't go to college, just go out and get a vocational skill, and then eventually get married, settle a home, work, save, one day retire, and you might get a chance to relax and have a little bit of fun before you die. That's priority. That's just everyday life. Everybody's going to do what? The same thing over and over. That's the priority. But the Word of God emphasizes something completely different. not seeking this priority that the world says, but seeking Jesus Christ and His righteousness. So therefore, no matter what business I go into, what vocation I go into, no matter what it is, Jesus Christ will be seen. When this is our priority, then God works to conform us. And the priority is to be a minister, no matter where I am, of the good news. I'm conforming to Jesus Christ, and that is what I want to exude out of my life. Then, when that's settled in our hearts and minds, we can say, You, Lord, show me the right vocation. You, Lord, direct me down this path. You show me the family, the wife, the home, whatever, in which I can then fulfill the responsibility and the priority that I have as a believer of being a representative of the gospel, giving out the good news. This is what is being conformed to the image of Christ. Father, I thank You for Your word tonight. I thank You for how You work in our hearts and lives to conform us to Your Son. Forgive us, Father, for the times when we've tried to do our own thing and go in our pride and go different directions. Lord, You correct us, You discipline us, You chasten us, and we praise You and thank You for doing that for us tonight. Lord, I pray that You would just be with any young person. If there's a young person that doesn't know You, that is not on the pathway of being conformed to Jesus Christ, that You would convict, Lord, and work in their hearts tonight. Father, I bless now. Pray that You'd bless now as we take our request before You. That Your name would be glorified in Christ's name. Amen.